is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is November 23rd and it's actually a Wednesday, a day before Thanksgiving, where we give thanks for the people that move come and kill all the Indians.
No, we give thanks for men being chivalrous and buying desperate young ladies Thanksgiving dinner plates.
Yes.
That's what I'm thankful for.
And we're also thankful today that we just don't depend on the chivalry of men for the rights for women. Good. Thank you, Aaron.
And so that's what we're going to be talking about. That's what we're going to be talking about, women's rights and the movement and everything. And today we happen to have two women who happen to be very light-skinned. I'm not going to call them... that's what it is. They're very light-skinned. Light-skinned bohemians.
I identify
that's
as,
okay.
you know.
You are a light-skinned bohemian and women of privilege. And this, and the reason, I said that for a reason, right? And forgive me for it, but these are my friends. They are my family. And so they understand when I bait them for a particular conversation. And earlier in Aaron's show, On the Clock, we mentioned that women voted against themselves. Right? And they voted against themselves instead of a referendum when they could have seek equality. Right?
I mean, that's all. And I just say that's one way of phrasing it.
Yes,
right?
I'm going to unabate it so I can have you come back. And I was saying that I don't necessarily don't think that is true. And the reason why I didn't say it's true, and I know Catherine put that forward, is because part of the referendum is about class. And class, where my friend Catherine is a woman of privilege. Good education. Happened to marry well to a good, decent man.
I'm
right?
privileged that I'm sitting next to you. But yes, define privilege before I get to you.
I'm going to do that. Come from a good family, right? Have means to go and travel.
Cute.
And of course, my next cousin, Melis, has a good husband. They have a good business, educated beyond. How can a person of privilege tell persons in the inner city, a working class, that they need to vote and support an agenda where part of the agenda is that they want to have their immigrant man underfoot. So they don't want him to have equal footing with them. So, and the idea of having a referendum that give them equality to say that they get automatic citizenship like that, that ain't good for them. And so I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm saying that perhaps, moving forward as women in equality, that today's middle-class women need to be able to negotiate and compromise more with working-class women and, by extension, men who are having challenges with moving forward. Say, hey, we're willing to give you equality. However, you need to compromise and work with us because one or two things we ain't comfortable with.
First of all, everyone at this table is privileged, right? You ate breakfast. You're okay. You have somewhere to sleep tonight. We're all people of privilege.
You know what privilege means.
I'm only being defensive on behalf of the fact that I don't want it to cheapen the opinion offered. Privilege implies that you never need to work again. And we leave it from here to go to the nail salon, not having to climb up the mango tree to pick mangoes with the rest of our family all summer. Not that Natalie is here and not worked their whole life. It implies the fact that there's a leisure of lifestyle that is not true in our circumstances. But yes, everyone at this table is privileged in that we'll have food to eat tonight, we have a voice to speak on, we have the confidence to do so, and we live in the most beautiful country in the world that needs amendments and adjustments. You said one of the ping wars. When they say angry women, it's a mute button for women. It's like, let us, all of us good, well-bred, with good brought-up see women, be quiet because someone in the room thinks we're angry and that's not how we should be. You said the word agenda. Now, agenda is like the boogeyman word in the room. When everyone says agenda, they're like, what are they talking about? You know, gay marriage, they're talking about this, they're talking about bringing all these foreign ideas in that are going to mess with our people. I married a foreign man because seniority was already taken. And if I had had a health scare, if I had gone into labor on one of my little trips to boost the American economy, I would have birthed a child that would not be allowed to have citizenship in the country. Mm-hmm. And that would have not been fair. That would have been that on a world stage.
But
like
many behemoths are comfortable with that. You say it's unfair. And because you come from a life of privilege.
It's not that
this is where a number of us say, no, I understand your point. But no, we don't want to change that law.
No, but it's not that I think it's unfair. Like, this is a feeling, an opinion put together by my so-called privilege and educational experience. It is. There are some things that are fact, whether or not you attached your feelings to it, and that we must make sure that all women, all men within the Bahamas have the same access to the same laws and rights to protect them if we're going to stand on a global stage and say that we have no shame in our equal treatment of human beings.
I think we need to clarify the law here. If a Bahamian man has a child with a non-Bahamian woman, no question that child is Bahamian. If a Bahamian woman has a child with a non-Bahamian, she does not get to pass her citizenship on to that child. This is not about equality of your husband. This is about equality of your children, of our future next Bahamians in this country. So, clarification on your husband.
I'm married to a referendum, Bahamian man. And we voted against it because we didn't want it.
It should not be an opinion poll.
We voted no because we didn't understand it, and that's what Bahamians do. I don't understand it, so I'm going to vote no before I open up something I don't understand.
It was also convoluted and mixed with other things to vote on.
There's truth that should not be compromised, and this should not be an opinion poll. This should just be what is true and what is right for our women. And when we bring up these conversations, people say, y'all talking about this again?
It's a constitutional issue, therefore I have a right to vote no.
But also, I will...
So that's why they vote no. And there should be end of it instead of bullying us.
No, legally, government needs
to... Just say,
to-
I accept your vote, and as good, decent, equal women, I will move forward with your opinion and we move forward. But for some reason, y'all prefer to bully poor people. Miss Millis, why are you bullying poor people?
Because poor people aren't marrying Cubans and Dominicans, right?
Yes.
Poor people aren't marrying outside of the Bahamian culture, right?
And we don't want to give them equal rights with us.
And whenever we bring up these conversations, everyone said, y'all
it's
talking about
husband.
This.
We're not talking about the husband. This isn't right to the husband. We need to clarify that. This is not asking for rights of the foreign husband. This is asking for the rights of your children as a Bahamian woman.
It's not even that, right? It's not even that. It's your right to have the state convey, right? The state conveys the citizenship. The state should convey the citizenship because of you. It conveys it to them, right? So the state conveys it. It's your right. That's what it is, right?
Bahamian women do not have the right to pass on their citizenship to their children.
It centers it on the woman, right? It's your right. The state should convey it because of you, to them.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And. Listen, democracy is you vote, and we support the women that vote. If you do not vote, you are not upholding those women that fought for you in suffrage. So that is one way that women are not taking on that legacy by not voting.
That's
right? Because they say if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So a lot of women don't vote, right? Because they don't see the problem. And you're right. Many women don't see the problem, they think it's okay that they don't pass on their citizenship.
Is there a difference between not voting and not participating in the electoral process?
That's interesting. Go ahead.
Right? And I think it's unfair
you've talked about abstention from the vote in the past,
right,
haven't
and,
you?
And, mm-hmm. and we can talk about this referendum too. What I'm saying is that it's unfair to say to a woman that if you don't vote, then you are disrespecting or disregarding the obligation, right? The thing that they gave to you, the sacrifices they made. I don't think that's the case. I think if you don't participate in the electoral process, if you don't participate in the development of your country,
mm-hmm.
right? But voting in and of itself is not the paramount. And I would say to people, of course, within this existing political culture, voting can be rendered powerless. It's the actual participation that's more important than the vote. I think it's unfair to say to people, if you don't vote, right,
well, I think that that's where we're getting with privilege, right? Because it is a privilege to be able to be active in that advocacy. Because it takes time to be able to go and advocate, mm-hmm. Aaron, right? That's what we're saying. Right? The fact that we get to sit here this morning, the fact that I had someone watch my baby for me, mm-hmm. my 2-month-old,
you're privileged.
And that I can sit here, I'm privileged.
Yes.
That's privilege, right? The women, and that's why Catherine said, we must, leadership is about not just your voice. Leadership is advocating and expressing the voice of your people, right, of your majority. And the majority is not privileged enough to sit here on a Wednesday.
Yep. I mean, I think we have the answer now. I think we truthfully have the answer now as a country. We just need the guts to face it now and so act on it. Is that unconditional, complete equality in all ways for Bahamian women with Bahamian men. That is the answer.
Allow me to bait them some more. Right? Because these are my cousins, right? And I believe I'm free to ask them any question. The Progressive of the Party is about to honor the lady who voted first. Give me the name.
Ruby Ann Dallin.
Ruby Ann Dallin, right? Mm-hmm. And it's about time because it seems as if she was lost in history for a brief moment, right? And I have two women, Bahamian women, Bahamian bred women, women of the soil who are here, but women of privilege who are white Bahamians, right? And
I'm going to kick him under the table. Carry
baiting
on.
Them, right? Mm-hmm. There were two women who voted that themed day. Uh-huh. There was Ruby Ann Darling, and next to her, the second person to vote on that day was a white Bahamian. Nobody knows her name, right? Nobody decided to say, hey, let me see who her family...
I'm
not sure who it was, right? And now the Progressive Liberal Party, rightly so, because I don't want to diminish their honor of Ruby Ann Darling, but surely we have first and second persons voting, and we have a white Bahamian community. Surely that you should be doing something or reminding them, hey, there's more than Ruby there. You know, they just happen to agree to let Ruby go first. Right? But we should be included in the narrative. I just want to know
who's the second man who landed on the phone, the moon, CA? Who was the second man landed on the moon?
Nobody went on the moon. Okay. Where are you going? to get that started.
One of the Explorer Club members did.
But to my point is, right?
Yeah, what's your point?
You're supposed to be continuing the narrative of strong Bahamian women developing the country. And I'm suggesting that particularly white Bahamian women have negated their responsibility of joining and pushing forward the agenda of equality as much as they should.
Actually, this came up in the documentary, and I thought it was a brilliant point, because a lady, Mrs. Stevenson, who was married to a black Bahamian man at the time, and she was married to a black Bahamian at the time when you couldn't go to restaurants together, you couldn't shop in the same places. She had a unique experience, so she was part of the suffragette movement because her intimate life was impacted. And I think I touched on this the other day. She came out of a meeting once and saw a Conky Joe woman on the street and said, "Aren't you interested? Don't you care?" And the lady basically said, "I'm comfortable, it doesn't impact me." Well, and she said, "Where is your public feeling? Where is your sentiment?" So as you continue to circle back and circle back to privilege, we'll say that anyone of any hue, and I'll let you go on with your little white privilege, anyone of any hue across the board that has a voice they can speak with needs to.
Let me go on with it for a second, because what I would argue is that it appears as if over the last few decades that phenotypically white Bahamian, right? Yes. Like all the people we say are white Bahamians because they're not black Bahamians, right? That they have decided that they have enough money, that they are sufficiently privileged to not have to participate in politics. I will say that we know that there is a phenotypically white, if we could use one term, sort of class that has determined that they don't have to, that they are sufficiently privileged, that they don't have to participate in politics in the way that regular Bahamians participate in politics, right?
Which means regular Bahamians.
That me and you. That's what I mean. Right? And so that there is a privilege, and that privilege means that we don't have to worry about voting. So while Natalie is saying, look, to vote is a privilege, to be able to vote is a privilege, right? And I'm saying that there's a class of Bahamians. Maybe we call them white Bahamians, phenotypically white Bahamians, I think.
And it's not financial, it's color, right? It's not financial, it's not a financial stratification. You're going to insist it's a color stratification?
No. What I'm saying is that there is a color stratification that have determined that they don't have to participate in politics, that the privilege is not having to vote. The privilege is being able to vote with my money. And what I want to ask in terms of the gender conversation is, has that attitude become a detriment to white Bahamian women, Greek Bahamian women, non-black Bahamian women, upper-class Bahamian women, upper-middle-class Bahamian women? This idea that privilege means you don't have to vote, you could vote with your money. And where does that leave people who are presumed to be privileged but have no money.
I will say,
and women in particular, because I know plenty women who are perceived to be rich because they are phenotypically white, and women who are rich and are white who have actually suffered in silence, isolated from the wider community and their own communities, experiencing domestic violence and intimate partner violence.
Aaron, one of your questions that you asked was, how can we come together, right? How can all of these different groups come together? And I think that this is our problem. Why does it always come back? Why are we talking about why are we back here?
I can tell you why. Because Bahamian women would have, let's go to the referendum. Here's why we have to ask the question, can we find common ground?
Yeah.
In the referendum, the government wanted to create constitutional equality between men and women. They said it 17,000 times. That's all they wanted to do. But to do that, to achieve that, they had to give some rights to gay people and non-traditional people. Well, women, along with men, said no.
Okay.
They said,
we don't want to give them the rights either.
Hold on. If that's what's required,
that's not fair.
To create constitutional equality between men and women, then we ain't
different.
Again,
that's exactly what Bahamian women said, and which led me to the question: can women find common ground? Because I argued that if women could find that common ground, I'm so sorry,
poor Ian. Ian is like, why you invite me?
Swing it the other way. The next one.
So you want this one, and we'll trade?
No. That's you, Cecil.
They're two different things, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
We have to stop lumping all these together. Mm-hmm. They are different.
You know, CA's favorite word is monolith, right? White women are not a monolith, Aaron. You know, everyone has a mix here, and we will not go into the 23
women
and me.
Across the board are not a monolith because they refuse to come together to achieve the goals of women.
We keep saying the white word, though.
That's the problem. The goals of women. My goals as a woman is different from Catherine's goals as a woman. We need to talk about specific
and also these
specific
are
issues.
But right to a life free of violence. That's what the 25th is about, eradicating violence against women.
But Natalie, isn't it human rights we're talking about?
That's exactly
right. We keep saying women's right, white right. This is not a monolith, except that this is humankind's rights that we are fighting for.
We're specifically talking about the 25th, the day to eradicate violence against women, and the 60th anniversary of women's suffrage.
Yes, let's talk about
that, Eric. That's what we're talking about.
That's the point.
But I will not take away from that, but
that's what we're talking about. But what we're talking about is, after 60 years, right, of getting the right to vote, can women find common ground sufficiently to push forward any agenda, even if that agenda is every woman deserves a right to a life free of violence?
Quickly, I think that we have to let Ian talk.
But
I want to say is that I won't go into the 23andMe that makes every hue in this country up, including yours, Aaron. I love to know your family DNA and background. But there's no one white, like there's no one black, okay? But we're not going to go into that because it cheapens the conversation. We talk about color instead of that which is our civil liberties. And you want to talk about not bringing people together. It's because we get distracted from that which is the truth, the essential move, by saying, but what color she is, babe? Yeah. But who her family is, babe?
But Catherine, not engaging the intersections of race and class and culture and language leaves us moving forward. And then realizing 10 minutes later that everybody ain't on the train.
But what I will say, color aside, is growth does not happen in your comfort zone. So anyone too comfortable can be lazy. You don't have to move. Why are you going to come out of it? But I think that has a lot of financial privilege that is not just color indicative, okay? There's plenty of poor white people out there as well. And so necessarily...
They're treated a bit differently also.
Just one second, then I'm going to be quiet and let you speak for the rest of it. But not all moves have to happen in a political role or segment. There's a lot of ways that we can come together as women without having to get yourself a seat in parliament. But having a voice, I think for those that are able, having a voice is not an option. It is essential if you want to call yourself a Bahamian human being. Go ahead, Ian.
I think what Aaron was saying.
You lucky, Ian.
No, this is my.
I'm glad you called my name.
Yeah,
I am joking. It's great to see you, Ian Money.
Great to be here.
Regular co-host on Guardian Radio AM.
We had a text in, and Ian's.
Okay.
We just had a quick text, and we have to read this. Glad to hear the constant rates and gender labeling and division being challenged. We are citizens and humans of a nation. It's about principles and ideas, not color or creed. That was your point, Natalie.
Okay, go ahead. Well, like the tip from where Aaron said, I think listening to the conversation, engaging with you ladies, mm-hmm. and I see y'all try to mash up my co-hosts. But the reality, I think what Aaron is saying is that these women are together in some sort, and then they're separated when the common ground needs to be met, where all of you have the voice together to say, hey, this is something that we're going for. But the reality is most of those persons over the hill, they see things from a different perspective or a different lens, mm-hmm. preferably from a person that comes from a, like CA was saying, from a privileged background, the ones that come from a great school. Not to saying that there's something wrong coming from a great school, but we're saying that...
Juicy comments.
but we're saying basically the life that those individuals have to adjust themselves to may not be the same thing that you may have to adjust to.
Yes.
100%, as Natalie would say, 100%.
When as a woman, you may have entitlement to a maid, mm-hmm. They may be the maid at home.
I don't.
No, I'm saying.
I actually 100% agree with you. And I think that the reason we have these talk shows, the reason that we're called to be here is that we need to force ourselves to see as each other think and feel, because that is the truth of the people coming on. Like my friend, Mr. Dave Williams, who comes on, has his views on marital rape. It's important we understand that, because yeah. that belief is affecting reality for so many people. I agree with you 100%. I want to ask you, what do you feel like is the male role in supporting women in these causes? Do you feel responsibility?
I believe there is a responsibility in terms of supporting the women in their movements. Because I believe it takes all of us, the component of everyone together, to make the country what it's going to be. If we have a disconnect between the woman and the man, or the husband and the wife, then we know society as itself is going to have a structural breakdown.
And Natalie, an odd question. Who is your favorite female politician at this present time? In the Bahamas, of course. And the reason why I ask it, what, right? Because we happen to have white behemoths being represented here inside the conversation, right? And it's needed for us to talk about uncomfortable conversations. I want to know how engaged is white Bahamiana to the mainstream Bahamas. Surely you have, and I'm beating you, of course, my cousin, surely you have a favorite politician that you're engaged with, that you're active with. And I want to know when, why you choose.
I don't. To answer your questions, I don't. I don't have a female politician that I'm actively engaging with. I think that today, coming on this radio, my responsibility is not necessarily first to engage with my politician, is to engage with who am I speaking on behalf of. And I'm speaking on behalf of all women, right? So if I have the opportunity to come and speak for women, my opportunity is to go and speak to that woman who is raising 5 kids on her own, and she's like, please, this is my perspective. Can you please share my voice for me? That's my responsibility. And then, you know, if any politician wants to come to Women's United and come and speak and represent, then that's wonderful.
But there are more groups out there. Yes, of any of the groups. And I think that earlier Aaron asked you, how do female scientists, and I know you said you're not a scientist, affect the beliefs or laws about sharks in that instance. But it's a fact that there is a different empathy there. And your role is to be empathetic to fishermen on docks, as you say, that understanding that is essential to the work that you do. And this is the same as speaking on behalf of anyone, to understand that, of course, we don't all see through the same lens, but truth is truth, justice is justice, and nothing can change that. No opinion and no standing.
But is that perspective?
CA, we have a text here. Can I slip it in? CA, Aaron, and guess. Child of a single woman for foreign men are Bahamians, but a child of a single man with a foreign woman are not Bahamians.
Yes.
Additionally, whether his child is a Bahamian or not, some men are not even allowed custody of their children. There are too many instances where women are favored in society over men, but women are still crying for more. I guess man takes one and satisfy, woman takes two, and still hit you with your shoe. Oh, I wish you were here to sing it for us. Instance, yeah, go ahead.
I want Aaron to answer that.
Yeah, I was going to say, interestingly enough, all of like the Christian biblical side, and I identify as Christian, in the country will say, get married, sit down, be fruitful. But we're saying, if you marry, just be prepared to give up your rights. Just be prepared that you won't be equal. Just so you know, we're trying to sell a Christian lifestyle here, but just saying you'll be punished for it. Carry on, Aaron.
The question I have is going straight back to raising class, right? What are Bahamian women doing with the resources that they do have, right? So if it's our job to speak to the needs of the most vulnerable women, right? If it's our job to put race and class aside and engage where help is needed most, what are women doing with their resources and with their money to help to provide resources and solutions for other women? Where are the shelters? The more than two-room shelters? Where are the properly functioning shelters? Where are the temporary work programs, right? Where are the emergency transportation programs and transportation for elderly women and young women and girls? And we know that women have the resources, right? We know that women have the influence and the affluence. We know that women have the organizational capacity, given the number of women's organizations, whether they are just local or they are connected to regional international bodies. We know that women have the capacity to actually solve the vast majority of the problems and issues that they face. Where is the money and the resources, and why does it never show up when the commitment is announced, right? Like, we always announce our commitment to these things, but the money and the resources never show up. Is it a matter of class and race separating us?
Definitely.
Right? Or is it just that women in those particular classes are focused on their particular agendas?
I would go as far to say that Bahamian women are feeling themselves because they are more women's group than men group, right? One would assume there'll be more institutions supporting women, but clearly that is lacking. You mentioned the resources of women who are being abused. Where can they go to live in the meantime? Resources in terms of supporting women and small business and right. Things like that is clearly lacking, especially with women being the majority of the voters, women being the majority in terms of numbers, right. Women being the majority in terms of positions. And we see that something is wrong. And so I go and said, in terms of equality, in the pursuit of equality in the Bahamas, are Bahamian women living up to what was mandated to them years ago? Right. And I don't necessarily think that's so.
I will argue that I think that they've attempted to resolve some issues, but we're stuck in this model of solving problems with money. I think it comes from the political class, right? And it comes from those most, I would say, agencied, right? Those who have the most agency to solve problems with money. But I think for women in particular, what we see that solving problems with money is not sustainable, right? Like, as a cultural thing, it's not sustainable, that approach, and many women get left out with no support, with no protection, simply because they don't have the money. They don't have the money to get to leave, you know? He hits you once, just leave. Well, leave and go where? How am I supposed to leave if I don't have a car? Where do I go, right? Like, exactly. But because we've been solving problems with money instead of
Well, systems. I will say that money solves a lot of problems. But the answer is that the nucleus of civilization is the family. Everything we're talking about here is a family problem. It's not government, it's not political, it's anything else. It's that the ills of the family and the sicknesses within the family units are being treated at a later date. I have spent since I was 22 and came back to the Bahamas, I spent the last few decades working with the children's homes of the Bahamas, and because I feel like the answer is in taking care of our children. As Nelson Mandela said, the true revelation of a society's soul is the manner in which we treat our children. We need to be raising these children, and women are so important because, like it or lump it or deny it or otherwise, the women still are the most important thing to pillaring up, backboning up a home. That does not mean a single father cannot do an admirable job in fighting on a home front alone if they need to. But a healthy family unit goes a long way if it has a woman there that is safely supported by society. society. The answer to needs with the elderly, the teenage youth, the disenfranchised, the women that need care and shelter are mentally ill, all lie within the family, because the family is not able, because of poverty, because of means, because of violent cycles, to answer these needs. We're being asked, especially in our nonprofit world, because the government can't answer everything through social services, is to meet these needs. Natalie's been involved in nonprofits in many ways. We all have families that do things like Over the Hill, Lewis Street, with Valentino Brown, Scrooge. We have dear family friends that have supported them for decades. I met and liked my husband because he was doing Fox Hill Run, or, you know, taking groceries to widows that were homebound, and that's what I found attractive about him, not just his chest. And I think the fact that, does money answer the problems? Of course it does. We are, I'm going to do my plug, Ramfley now is trying to put a transitional home in so the kids, when they hit 18, don't go straight onto the streets, because anyone who's a parent knows you don't stop parenting at 18. We've built one home that is up and one structure is up
right,
and going,
Cass,
and working
we'll
another.
No, pause, yeah. Stick a pin. So Ramfley is doing that. That's a great initiative, right?
Who else is doing it?
I'm still talking. Yeah. Ramfley's doing this, a great initiative, right? You're in need. 18 is not the end of childhood, right? Mm-hmm. Why are we focusing on charitable support as opposed to structural reform? It's great that you guys are doing that, but why aren't the people who are supporting the Ramfley home focused on the government and demanding that as a part of their housing strategy that they have solutions for children who are orphaned and have to matriculate into independence? That shouldn't be a thing that we beg for every year for monies to help the little children become adults. The government has an obligation to ensure that there are housing options available for young people who had no parents to raise them and have no parents to support them.
I think we're missing the big point. I think the big point is that, like CA would have mentioned, the numbers, there are more women than there are males. There are more women-driven agencies than there are agencies that are driven for men. So the solution to the problem of the women are the women. So we have to think about why these women are not connecting in some form or fashion. Why is it that the upper Bahamas is not connecting with the lower Bahamas when we all are Bahamians?
Well, I think we see that problem no matter what issue it is, right? We can talk about groups for animal rights. We can talk about groups, the lack of cohesiveness and working together. We see that across the sectors in this country. In the environmental world, we don't share resources, et cetera. I mean, so that's a larger question, I think, at hand.
But the males got together. We stand in solidarity. We said that the man is the head of the house, and we believe that. That's just what we believe. And we stand with that, and we challenge that. No, but I'm saying is we challenge the fact that anybody who wishes to challenge the authority of who we are in the room, we challenge that.
You shouldn't believe everything you think, right, Ian?
But we challenge it. That's what we do.
We got to go a break. We can take this quick break right here. This is Guided Radio AM. We're here with Ian Munnings. We're here with Catherine Chisholm Mitchell. Aaron Green is my co-host. And, of course, we have Natalie Melis. And they're all our guest hosts today. As we talk about women's rights,
we got women empowerment.
Right? Women empowerment. And are women doing enough to propel themselves forward in terms of equality in the Bahamas? I mean, you don't even vote for no women to be in the House Assembly. It's only like four of them. Y'all is the issue.
The four women in the House running things.
Yeah, but yeah, that's a different thing. Well, anyway, we'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
One in every four people in the Bahamas face some level of food insecurity. Through our annual Feed 5000 program, AML Foods remains steadfast in our commitment to help those struggling with hunger and will donate 5,000 to provide holiday meals to families this Christmas. But we need your help. From November 14th to December 19th, show your support and donate at the register at any Solomon's, Costrite, Solomon's Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's locations in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM. And I'm having a provocative conversation, you know. And you know I'll challenge anybody, and I'm challenging the status quo. So imagine challenging some of my good friends, making them feel uneasy and daring them to answer me. But we need to have some uncomfortable conversations, right? And before the break, I was challenging my friend Nathalie, right? And saying that y'all are the problem because you're not even voting no woman in. Right? Because everyone is saying that we need more women participating in politics. And I said, we don't want no women participating in politics. We already have too much now. We have four of them inside the house when it should mostly be two.
And then we got two outside the house who just...
just as loud. Can you imagine, right?
Don't say nothing.
I can't let that one slide. So, they open the door to that.
You know, so...
The women that are there now...
Yeah, go ahead.
They are progressive.
They're progressive, you think?
Yes, they're very progressive. Yeah. And they're outshining some of the counterparts.
Any housing for women who are being abused yet? No? They lobby.
But this is something that...
What women issues are important
for? But this is something...
They ain't doing none of that yet?
No, but this is something...
It ain't about women issues for them, right?
It has to be.
But it isn't.
It has to be.
Give me an example.
I'm saying it has to be.
I'm just giving you one good example.
Are they lobbying for removal of VAT and duty on feminine hygiene products?
You can't buy pads without paying VAT.
Or are they lobbying to put that on the price control list?
They just put
38 categories of
items on the price control
list. They don't like women. So question. We asked a question earlier.
Go ahead, because I got to go to Natalie.
Where are those women groups that are seeking and speaking with those individuals to say, hey, these are some of the issues that are taxing.
They belong to the group.
Equality Bahamas.
They're home making you dinner, Ian. Is that what you said? What you wanted?
They don't just make dinner. You know, they make dinner. They take the children to school.
It is a privilege to be able to represent your country. That is a privilege. We're on the privilege again. Because how many women have the ability to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to put my whole family, I'm going to compromise or balance my family life with my career and to represent my country in a political role. I mean, if you ask these women, it takes hours and time. And
that's huge.
It's huge. And you know who's behind her? A good supporting husband.
You need
a good supporting husband to
matters,
be able to do that.
The guys rock.
It matters not to me.
Okay.
It matters not to me if you are still furthering the same oppressive agenda that oppresses both men and women. Don't matter to me that you're a woman and you're privileged and you're giving up your time at home. If you only go in there to further the aims of an oppressive government or...
Are the women agitating for change? Are the women agitating to those women that now that you are in the forefront, because they are in the forefront, you have the women that are there, and we can call some of the names. We can see them in the tabloids. We can see them moving around. We can see the progressive movement of them. We've seen more of them than some of the male counterparts. So we're saying now is that those women groups need to be able to seek out those individuals that are there now and say, these are some of the things that we're looking forward to be placed before Parliament. We need these to be heard. We are women, and you have the right
feet
to do it.
To the fire. Mm-hmm.
Keep their feet to the fire. Agitate.
I made a mistake giving Ian candy during the break. Now he's all sugar high.
That's sweet.
Aaron, what would you like your female politicians, I won't just say all politicians, but what would you like your female politicians to be advocating for? What do you feel like their top three things should be?
Top three things?
Yeah.
Let me add this.
Housing reform.
Okay.
Land, which is coupled with land management, right? Land and housing reform. Rental, tenant, landlord, property owner, if I'm leasing, regulations, right? I think that's one of the biggest issues
property
for women.
Property is the key to freedom, right?
But I thought we had local crossroads.
No, no. We have, and see, this is it. That's exactly it. You would have thought that people were lobbying on behalf of poor people, especially poor women who have to figure out how to house these children after the daddy gone and he have to take care of two household, right? But no, that's not what low-cost housing means. What low-cost housing means is that we couldn't convince the banks to offer mortgages at rates that were viable or accessible by the average Bahamian. So we created the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation so the government could offer them a mortgage that they could afford. But it ain't a mortgage that they could afford. It's actually terms that they could live with, right? So they basically pay in the same amount of money for the house, but they can qualify with lower credentials, and they have maybe a longer amount of time to pay it back. That's it. It's nothing really helpful about it, considering it's happening in your own country. Your government couldn't figure out how to make housing more accessible to you. So housing, right? We got a major housing problem, too many unhoused people, right? Then we got a policing problem where women are just unsafe. Women, girls, and boys are just unsafe. And they're vulnerable to sexual violence. Next thing we got to do, we got to focus on this rape culture. I talk to women in the House of Assembly, both the lower house and the upper house. How are you disrupting rape culture in politics, in the halls of power, when we have some of the most prolific political, you can't see my quotation mark, figures and politically exposed figures with nicknames.
Can you define rape culture? Can you flesh it out a little bit? What do you mean when you say that? What do you mean? When you say rape culture, what do you mean?
Catherine, you don't know what rape culture means? I don't know if we have enough time to define what rape culture...
I would also want to know. Let me finish speaking, please. Okay.
I don't think we have enough time to define rape culture in this moment, and I think that asking for it was simply disruptive. And perhaps you could have been helpful to women by not demanding that I define rape culture, but by expanding the conversation with your understanding of rape culture.
I would be thrilled to do so. It's one of the questions that's put to me a lot as I talk about, again, the amendments to the marital rape bill and the fact that this is a violence that is universally experienced and doesn't hit class or financial bracket. But I think it's one of the questions that's put to me a lot. So as someone who's of experience that has been in the battleground for so long, I was hoping you could help me break it down so I could answer it better, Aaron.
That's cool. We get 9 minutes. We don't have enough time for that.
I wanted to ask Nathalie, because you've mentioned rape culture, right? As a young, attractive Bahamian lady, right? Does she feel safe traversing Bahamian streets? And then you can continue with the rape culture that we need to rectify here. I mean, do you feel comfortable?
I will tell you, I feel more comfortable here than I ever did in the States at Wayne University. I will tell you that.
I mean, anyone's sexy in the Bahamas. I was never made to feel more sexy than when I was like 75 months pregnant in a Kelly's parking lot. So I don't think being particularly attractive makes you more danger in this country. I will say my definition of rape culture is the fact that it is socially accepted that a certain level of violence towards women is simply taken as a matter of relationship fodder. It's what happens when you're in an intimate relationship with people, and that it's just said that this is what occurs, especially it occurs within marriage, and therefore it cannot be legislated against, and the Christian view would come into that. And I think that us making sure that women are safe no matter what their status, marital or otherwise, is essential to preventing a proliferation of rape culture.
Let me tell you what rape culture is. Rape culture is a country where you have the third highest stats on rape in the region, right? One out of every three women experience rape.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have people in the highest levels of judiciary that have names like drop your pants. That's what rape culture is. Oh, yeah, that's what, hold on, pause. That's what rape culture is. Mm-hmm. Rape culture is why, when you can't figure out why you can't resolve rape, why you can't resolve extreme instances of sexual violence, why you can't resolve incest, why you can't resolve sexual harassment in the workplace, why you can't resolve sexual harassment in schools. Hold on. Why you can't convince security guards that they shouldn't be cutting up with the children they're supposed mm-hmm. to be securing. Mm-hmm. Why you can't convince bus drivers that they shouldn't be attempting to develop relationships with the students in uniforms that they're taking mm-hmm. home from school. Which is why you can't convince police officers that they shouldn't turn around in a car and slap a girl in her face because she's been accused of being sexually active by someone. Let's get serious about what rape culture is. Rape culture is that you have some of the most privileged, richest women in this town locked away in their homes, being beaten and raped by their husbands, right? Because money talks. But it's also men who are continually being molested mm-hmm. by yeah. women. Yeah. They are not allowed to have boundaries because if they reject and advance, they are labeled as gay, and nobody would ever acknowledge that they have been traumatized by the rape that they've been forced to experience because men yep. do and, not get yeah. raped in the Bahamas. Let's get serious about what rape culture is, and let's get serious about the ways that women with class and privilege perpetuate it, support it, and refuse to engage on the ground where they are needed because they are too focused on their own personal and political gains. That is rape culture. Excellent. Also, even in the advocacy yeah. world, organizations and their actors are perpetuating a rape culture where they demand that they sit at the top of the table but refuse to let the crumbs trickle down. We cannot talk about these issues without talking about the way that race and class intersect. It is not an attack on white people.
But you're preaching now. You're preaching now, Aaron. You're preaching now, Aaron. But I do agree that there needs to be a conversation about race and class, right? And we flippantly tend to dismiss it where people say we don't see race or is a class issue. But when we said there are people at the bottom end of the spectrum said all they could do is see race and they are uncomfortable and they want to have a conversation that they can feel as equal as possible. So definitely the conversation needs to be had. But we have about 5-7 minutes. I need to have everybody wrapped up. So I'll go around the room right now. You, Catherine, and go to Ian and then go to Aaron and then, no, Aaron will be last. So you conclude the show, and then we'll have Natalie. So we do that, right? We know who goes first with sex. And we all have 40 seconds to do that, eh?
Excellent, Aaron. Thank you. I feel like that needed to be said, recorded, so I could listen back to
it. I say it all the time. You don't watch
none. No, but excellent, and thank you. And yes, even like the smallest thing is going to get your car license. You know, if you smile at the man, it's going to happen in 5 minutes. If you don't smile back, you're going to be difficult and put at the back of the line. Those are the kind of things that are unhealthy and toxic within. But we're talking about the serious protection. And thank you for saying boys, girls and boys. We're protecting our futures here, our children and our grandchildren to come. You spoke so excellently. And I, again, thank you for all of the things you do to speak on behalf of humankind, not just women in our country.
Go ahead, Dad. I'm of the belief that the women ought to find a common ground which they can work with, advocate for those changes, agitate those persons responsible or who are in position to make the changes, to create an environment that they would consider a pleasant one for them. It isn't a matter of if it's a male or it's a female. It's a matter of if you're depriving somebody from their natural being as being a citizen or being a human being. That's just my 5 cents.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head. This is a humanitarian issue. This is not should women speak up. This is humans, our communities, our men and our women speak up about these are perils that are happening to our communities. This is all of our voice, men and women.
Okay, Aaron, go ahead. That's why I can wrap up.
It's been a hard conversation. I just want to remind you all that we've been talking about the International Day to End Violence Against Women and the 60th anniversary of women's suffrage in the Bahamas. That's it.
So I'll conclude my own show, right? I enjoy the conversation. And the reason why I prick my two cousins here, right, is because I believe in having uncomfortable conversations, right? And I know that this family has done a lot for the Bahamas. They put their shoulder to the wheel and push, right? So I know they're able to have the tough conversation and be uncomfortable. And so I say, I will challenge them. And this is one of the reasons why Catherine continues to be a co-host with me, because I challenge her at every chance and every opportunity, right? And plus, she bring me cookies and bring me food. Oh, yeah, and treats. But as we celebrate
National Women's Week.
Yes, we need to support our women. We need to engage our women and find out ways on how we can empower them and lift them up, right? There's not always the need to be combative and defensive with our women, especially when we know that the women breeds culture. And they grow up and nurture our children. So there's a need to make sure, protect them and lift them up and move them further up into the Bahamas. But anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Noreen, of course, Aaron Green. And of course, we had our co-host and our guest host with us, who is Ian Munnings, who is, what am I going to name? I didn't forget your name. Catherine Chisholm Mitchell. Mitchell's easier. And of course, my next cousin there, Nathalie Malis. And thank you very much for joining us, right? And having these tough conversations with us, right? Aaron Green?
Thank you.
Next week. See,
it's going to be hard. It's something vexing me these
vexing,
days.
Vexing. You're always vexed.
No, it's vexing me these
you're
days.
Vexed, you know? I'm just glad that they're building more new houses and what are women giving that new scholarship out?
Yes.
Now that's a conversation.
That's a question we didn't ask. Is MP Pia Glover offering a scholarship to girls only?
It's girls only. He said girls only.
Gender discrimination.
I don't know if it's good. It's Women's Empowerment Week, so they're empowering women. So boys will get empowered one of these days if we deserve it.
We should look.
No, I don't expect nothing for boys. I don't expect nothing for boys. No time soon. Yep, that's 30,000 grand for only women.
Institutions,
then you. Yeah, that's what it is. That's a guiding vision. AM. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.